You're listening to the Irish Times Roisin Meets podcast.
Welcome back to Roisin Meets. Now, some of you will know that I am a big fan of musicals. I pretty much like all musicals, but I do have my favourites. And one of my favourites is Billy Elliot, which I've seen quite a few times. And the other one is Wicked, which now I have seen 6 times. And the reason I've seen it 6 times is because luckily it came here twice and it's still in Dublin in the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre until Saturday. So just a couple of days if you're lucky enough to get a ticket for one of those shows. I like Wicked because, well, for loads of reasons, but really it's very different to many other musicals you'll have seen. For a start, there's 2 female leads, which is, you know, which is interesting in any kind of a theatre performance and in musicals particularly. It's also about friendship rather than a big romantic love story, even though there is some romance there. And it's also a very, I think, feminist musical, but jazzed up with loads of other themes and layers in it as well. And the other reason I love it is because I love The Wizard of Oz. And if you love The Wizard of Oz, you will love Wicked, because Wicked tells the backstory, this other side of what really happened in Oz, in that wonderful world that L. Frank Baum dreamed up. And so there's all the reasons I love it. So when I got a chance to have 2 of the stars of Wicked in, I jumped at it. For this episode, I talked to Amy Ross, who plays Elphaba, who is this smart, fiery, misunderstood witch who possesses an extraordinary talent. That's Elphaba, and she's got green skin and she's amazing. And also Helen Wolfe, who plays Glinda, the bubbly blonde who is exceptionally popular. And that's one of the songs that I love very much from Wicked. So they came in, they talked to me about being women in this very strongly female-led theatrical production, and also about the different themes that are on in Wicked, and about being a woman in musical theatre, which is difficult and has different challenges. So they spoke to me all about that. And we've sprinkled some of the music through this too, so you'll get a flavour if you haven't seen it yourself. So here they are, the women from Wicked. Thank you very much for coming in. I have to say that I am a total super fan of Wicked. I've seen it 6 times. I've seen it in Dublin, London and New York, which makes me sound like a real jet setter. But anyway, when I was in New York and I was going to see a musical, I wanted to go and see that. I love it so much. So that's the first thing. Tell us about Wicked for people not like me who have never seen it.
So Amy. Wicked is it's the untold story of the Witches of Oz. So you kind of find out what happened before Dorothy arrived on the scene. And you find out how the Wicked Witch of the West became known as the Wicked, and then Helen's part,
Glinda the Good. You find out why she becomes Glinda the Good.
But even if you don't know anything about the Wizard of Oz as a story, it's a standalone fantastic story.
But I think the genius of it is, though, is because we all do, of all ages, we, especially when my age, I'm in my 40s, we watched The Wizard of Oz so many times at Christmas time. It was just, you know, it was days before Netflix, before all of these things where you could watch anything all the time. If it came on the telly, that was it. You sat for however long. It sounded like it was 3 hours long, that movie.
It was long, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And it's so, the story is so ingrained. So to go and see Wicked and find out these other things, and then you sort of believe them. You think, oh no, that's the real story. Yeah. It's so interesting. Listen, how did you both first get involved in the singing and the dancing? Because it's something that most people, I suppose, get into very early if they get to your level.
I actually sort of followed the least traditional route, I suppose. I didn't actually train until I was sort of 27 in London. I kind of...
That's really late.
Really late, yeah. So
what were you doing up to then?
Well, a bit of everything, really. I never really knew what I wanted to do. I think music was very much part of my family, but I grew up in sort of Cambridge, and I was, there wasn't really much of, well, that I knew of, a great sort of performing arts scene. And I worked in a hotel. I lived in France. I kind of did every little job under the sun because I thought I didn't want to throw myself into university because I think, straight away, without kind of exploring the world a little bit, seeing what I wanted to do. And I ended up doing a sort of degree down in Brighton when I was sort of 23. And that was kind of, that was my sort of university sort of side of things. And then I kind of decided that actually, yeah, I've spent a lot of time sort of singing.
Goodness, you did. What a waste of a voice.
That would have been. And I sort of had lessons sort of since I was sort of about 15. So I kind of, it was more of a hobby. I never really ever thought it would be a career or anything like that. Okay. So, and then, yeah, when I was 27, I went to the Royal Academy of Music in London. I did a year's postgraduate course there. And then soon after that, joined the Wicked family. So And here I still am.
So you auditioned for Wicked and you got it. Like, it was that one of your first...
It was about a year
That's
after leaving.
That's
mad.
Yeah. I mean, you must see how crazy that is, because I'm sure yours is very different. When did you start?
So mine was a case of, I was 3 years old. I was... My mum had...
My
mum had two boys already, a lot older than me, and I think she was excited about sending her girl to ballet and, you know... So actually, the first thing I did was was ballet. And... It was more the dancing stuff, and I think it's just, you know, a good way to keep your kids fit and things like that. And then actually my brother showed quite a musical, he was 10 years older than me. I say was, he still is, nothing's changed. and he went to a theatre school, you know, and did kind of singing, acting, dancing. And it wasn't till I was old enough to go as well that my mum sort of said, do you want to go where Stuart's gone? And I think I just thought, okay, yeah, you know, again, not really necessarily thinking it was going to be what I always did, but just something I really enjoyed. And then I think the older I got, my mum sort of started to say, actually, she's quite good at these things.
And he wasn't.
No, he was kind of more into musical instruments and things like that. But, and then, again, I still didn't know if it was what I was going to always do. But when I went to secondary school, I studied dance and drama at GCSE and A-level. But then I also studied biology and English literature. So it was kind of... In my gut, I knew it's what I always wanted to do, but my dad was very, you know, it's a very competitive field, and he wanted, because I was quite academic, he wanted me to explore that. But it was just something that was always itching, and I just said to them, do you mind if I just give it a go? And they were like, of course. So, and I was lucky enough to get into a college in London, Arts Educational, which was a really good training in all three disciplines. And I left there at 21 and gave it a go, and luckily it went well. So,
So you've both been in lots of different musicals, but now Wicked for the last while. What I really like about Wicked is the fact, which is very unusual, is that there's two female leads, and that while there is a love story going through it, really what it's about is friendship and female friendship.
100%.
And when you think Wicked, the musical came, is it 15, how long is it running? 15 years?
15, yeah.
You know, back then to have two female leads in a musical was probably unheard of.
Yeah.
I think it was probably one of the first, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. Sure, and I think even now there's still less writing for strong women, female leads. Yeah. Comparatively with men. So we feel really lucky in that respect to be playing these two women, and the fact that they're so iconic and strong and different.
Yeah.
Really lucky.
I mean, there's a song in it called For Good, which is my favourite.
Yeah.
Which is basically a love song, but it's a love song between two women.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
it has all those ingredients and all that kind of deep feeling that you get between sort of the typical heterosexual kind of male-female roles in a play, except it's literally two women.
To those who help us most to grow, if we let them and we help them in return. Well, I don't know if I believe that's true, but I know I'm who I am today because I knew you.
When you were singing that, do you relate back to your very good friendships and the things that you have with other friends?
100%. It's really interesting you say that, because obviously being on tour, we don't see our friends as much. And there's been times where I've thought about my best friend and during that song, and he was going through a hard time one night when I was singing it, and that made me really emotional. And you do really connect to your own personal feelings.
And the thing I love about that particular moment in the show is it's so still, nothing's happening.
Yeah.
You were literally just looking into each other's eyes and saying these wonderful words. And I think that calm and that stillness and just identifying with what you're saying is just, it's heartbreaking.
And the other thing about it that I think is what I fell in love with, as well as the fact that the songs are incredible, so it has all the ingredients. It can't just have a good message for me, it has to have everything.
Absolutely, yeah.
But it has got such a feminist line running through it too, because what you have in Elphaba, who you play, is this person who's not who's doesn't fit in and has been told all the time that she's not acceptable and she's not right, but and it's about her embracing that and finding that strength in herself, which again was kind of ahead of its time, because the themes that are in it, I kept watching it and thinking of many things, like Donald Trump, for example. The Wizard of Oz was reminding me of that, fake news, you know, and the way that feminism has come into such a different sort of level now. now. What are your what's your own take on that part of it? Is that-
well, I think today you have so much kind of filtering and photoshops and things out there that make women believe that they need to look a certain way, or they need to, you know, this sort of false image of how women should look. So Elphaba coming out and being looking completely different.
And she's green. We should
tell
people she's green.
conventionally beautiful.
Yeah.
But the fact that she isn't apologising for that, and the fact that ultimately she gets the guy because of her differences, not in spite of. Mm. Sorry if that was a spoiler. But you know, that's a really brilliant. I think that's such an important message today.
Yeah. And Glinda, then, the character, sort of, when they first become friends, another brilliant song is Popular, which a lot of people will know. And what she's trying to do is to kind of say to Elphaba, you know, oh, actually, I can help you be better than that. And again, it's ahead of its time, because it's all about, this is how you flirt, you know, this is how you flick your hair.
Yeah, it's sort of
it's such a brilliant
life
moment
in how to be wonderful. Yeah, she's great. I love that song. It is, but then, you know, against that, you know, she is the beautiful, popular one, but she doesn't get what she wants. Or does she?
Glinda.
Yeah, yeah.
Popular, you're gonna be popular. I'll teach you the proper poise when you talk to boys. Little ways to flirt and glance. Ooh, I'll show you what shoes to wear, how to fix your hair. Everything that really counts to be popular. I'll help you be popular. You'll hang with our right cohorts. You'll be good at sports. Know the slang you've got to know. So let's start, because you've got an awfully long way to go.
And there's also interesting about that kind of compromise on her part, because she's beautiful, she's the archetype, she's a bit stupid, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but she's very funny. She gets a lot of words wrong and things like that, which is great. But there's definitely that conflict with her of, she sort of is addicted to the power and the glory that she gets, even though she knows really that it's not the best.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the biggest thing for Glinda is that she makes so many sacrifices, you know, in her terms of her career. You know, she lets Elphaba take that and actually, but, you know, she gets to sort of tag along on the journey and you know, eventually, you know, winds up being something she probably didn't imagine, you know, she would become Glinda the Good in the way that she was. But yeah, I think she's sort of fascinating in that way.
And presumably, as women in theatre, you've watched Me Too happen and heard that conversation and sort of the many, many strands that have come out of it. What are your own experiences as women in theatre?
You know, I have been involved mainly with the Wicked family for quite a long time. And I'd say, you know, I find there's a great sense of community with the male and female. Everyone is very good at talking to each other. Everyone's very supportive. I can't say I've ever had any experiences of any sort of negative.
No, but what it has done is
but at least
show the strength of women coming together. Mm. Do you know what I mean? That's what it has done. It's shown a movement that women can create if they are strong in numbers and you know.
How do you find the musical industry, say, with, you know, we're talking about Wicked with these two amazing female leads. I mean, that's double the amount in a way that they're having most.
Yeah.
Do you find that, do you wish there were more of those kind of parts?
Yeah.
Stronger women that, where it's not just about the kind of love story thing, because a lot of them
100%.
Are.
Yeah, because I think, you know, anything that, you know, you'd sort of like to progress to, like in terms of other shows, you then sort of are then taking that little sidestep, because actually it's about the male generally and the women sort of being the sort of secondary character. And I think that'll be quite difficult, you know, for us in a way.
Because
you know, you feel so powerful at the end of every show. And actually,
So what is there a kind of musical that you would like to do, or are there jobs that you're looking at?
I think we always say about being part of something new, and maybe that's maybe that would be, you know, sort of creating your own character, you know, a new role in something.
I did it with Sunny Afternoon, was a brand new musical, and I was lucky enough to be involved from the start. And there is something so special about feeling like you've been involved in the creative process of a show. So yeah, totally agreeing with Helen. I would like to originate a really lovely
part. So is that maybe going back to your English literature part of your studying as well? Do you think you'd be writing in the future then?
To be honest, it's kind of more... So with Sunny Afternoon, we had a writer already on board, obviously, but he would do things like, whilst rehearsing, if you're reading some lines and he gets to know us all as actors, he'd sort of go, actually, I think this would suit you more. And he would adapt his script that he'd sat and written, you know, completely away from us all. He would adapt it to suit us as... And so you kind of feel like, yes, you've had an involvement in the how it's cut, you know, how it's come into flow, and then to think then casts after you say those lines because they were written for you, and that's quite a cool, thought.
So you've got till September 1st, you're here.
Yes.
And people, I would very much encourage everyone to go. It really is so uplifting. Actually, I went with my friend who was seeing it for the first time, and she basically said she just wanted to go straight back in and watch the next show. There's something very addictive about it. I mean, as I've seen it 6 times, I would definitely go and see it again. Yeah. No problem. But you're here till September 1st. So how's Dublin treating you, and how are you getting on?
Amazing. The audiences here are just great. Just incredible.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about you guys, but you're not inhibited, so you just go for it. Like if something's funny, you'll laugh. You know, it won't be a polite laugh. You'll absolutely go for it. And we love that.
And during the bows, quite often we will come through for our sort of final bow, and the entire audience are already up on their feet, you know, and that's like so special. And you're hit by this wall of sound and enthusiasm. People just love it.
But you said the same when you were in Dublin with the show last time, and I was in Dublin with a different show.
What show were you here for?
Legally Blonde. Oh, yeah. And I remember it being one of our best, you know, venues on the tour in terms of the audience reaction. Yeah. So great. Thank you.
We love a bit of praise. Yeah. Well, listen, you're both amazing. I know that your voices are precious, so that you couldn't sing for us here today, but just to say that that's another reason to go. I mean, Defying Gravity is another one of the songs that is so iconic from the thing. And honestly, when you sing it, it's just stunning. Oh, I mean, just amazing and breathtaking and so great. So I would urge everyone to go. And thank you very much for both coming in.
Thanks for having us. Thank you.
That was Amy Ross there, who plays Elphaba, and Helen Wolfe, who plays Glinda. They're so talented. And like I said, if you do get a chance, it's on in the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre for a couple more days. And if you don't get a chance to see it here, see it in England or somewhere else. And I'm sure it will be back, so you might get another chance in Dublin again. And that's all we have time for. Remember, you can find Roisin Meets wherever you listen to podcasts. And you can always find us on irishtimes.com, where we have lots of other brilliant podcasts, including Worldview, our politics podcasts, and the Women's Podcast. Today's episode was produced by Jennifer Ryan. I'm Roisin Ingle, and I'll talk to you next time.